So what is the mortality review report?
It is a report that is generated after a horse has died as a result of a racing event, either an injury or an accident, and it reflects the deliberative process that we went through in trying to understand what happened, if there were opportunities for intervention or to have changed the outcome for the horse. So we look at the necropsy report, we look at the horse's high-speed exercise history, we review interviews with trainers and jockeys, the race video replay, and the report actually it shows our thought process and not just a litany of facts.
Why was it added to the list of items released through the Racing Commission? That may not be phrased exactly right, but why has it been added?
Well, for a number of reasons. I think first off, we need to defend to the public and to other stakeholders that we take these incidents very seriously. We are intent on doing our best to do better for the horses. And this demonstrates an exhaustive process that we've gone through for each horse. We also live in a different time where transparency and access to information is an expectation. And so, we decided to meet or exceed people's expectations and not just give them information, but show how carefully we thought about things.
So then, what would you say is the importance of releasing this kind of information?
I think it enhances public confidence in our stewardship of these horses in trying to find solutions to our problems. I think it also invites people who have given thought to these problems as well to look at our process. And if somebody sees something that we've missed or something they'd like us to consider that we have not previously, we're open to hearing that.
Will it help in the effort that's being made to reduce horse fatalities in racing?
That's certainly our goal. Hard to know if it will help. I'll be disappointed if it doesn't. I think we learn something from every case. They're all unique, even if the injury sustained by a number of horses is very similar. The circumstances around each horse are different, and so we do learn something for each of those horses that hopefully helps us going forward with other horses in similar circumstances.
The situation, I'll call it, or the deaths that have happened at Santa Anita, how much was that a factor in developing this?
Actually, we'd started this process before Santa Anita. We had a particularly poor safety performance here in Kentucky last year, and as a result of that, we decided that we needed to expand our mortality review process, which had previously been, sort of informal conversations and discussions between the stewards and the trainer and myself and the jockey. We decided that we needed to expand that process, formalize it a little bit more, and at the end of the day, generate reports that summarized our findings and any conclusions that we might have made. So we started that. It was our goal to start that in January. So it reflects all of the fatalities that have occurred this year.
The number of fatalities last year compared to the number so far this year, roughly how have they differed?
Touch wood, we are back on track to our previous safety performance. In 2017, we had one of our safest years in quite some time, and we had in Kentucky, our safety performance had exceeded the national average. So we were doing better than average racetracks in terms of horse safety. Last year was quite an aberration. We are back to the 2017 numbers, and we're about right now half the rate that we experienced last year, and hopefully we can sustain that.
Do you feel something has changed in the way of caring for or training of horses in the last year that has resulted in that?
Well, I can't speak to specific changes, but I think as a sport, we are all much more risk averse. I think everyone is being more conservative in the decisions that they make. Horsemen, I think, are much more conservative in how they're making their decisions about whether or not a horse should race. Our veterinarians have been working with the horsemen so that if anybody has a question about their horse, they show us the horse before they even enter it. Let's look at it together before we get to race day. So if there are questions that need to be asked and answered, we've got time to get it done to everybody's satisfaction. So there's been outreach in both directions to improve communication for the benefit of the horse.
At this point, does it appear that the fatalities with horses are more track condition related or the health of the horse?
It's always a combination. When you just drill in on one factor, you're likely being overly reductive, and you're probably missing something that could benefit the outcome for the horse. So we, for every case, we try and look at everything that we can. And I'm going to give you my analogy. You'll probably edit this out, but hopefully it'll help you understand. When I was in college, I had this great stereo and it had a graphic equalizer, right, that had all the vertical bars that lit up. And so if you think about each one of those vertical bars as a risk factor, for any one horse, that profile can be substantially different from the next horse. Those bars could represent surface condition, horses' musculoskeletal health, medication programs, trainer competency, rider competency, weather, all sorts of things. Some we know, some we don't know. But each one of those is a risk factor. And so for any given horse, that profile can be very different. But what I believe happens is that there's somewhere there's a horizontal line perpendicular to those bars, and when you get critical mass of risk factors above that, that's when that horse is going to get injured. It doesn't matter what combination you get there. So for example, a fractured humerus, fractured shoulder in the horse, that is really associated with pre-existing microfractures in the bone. There's a very strong correlation. So if you look at that horse's risk profile, racing surface condition can be way down here. It's not really a risk factor. Those fractures can occur when the horse is jogging in the morning. Mm-hmm. So the risk profile for that horse may be very different than for another horse that sustains a different kind of an injury. So I don't think there's one fingerprint that we can find that says this is the at-risk horse. I think we have to learn how to sort of measure the impact of the different risk factors on an individual horse basis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In the fatalities that have occurred or the horses that have been euthanized, has there been more of one type of injury than another?
Well, I mean, at this point, we're talking about a very limited number of horses. You mean for this year? Mm-hmm. What's interesting to me out of the horses that have sustained fatal conditions this year, two of them were sudden deaths, horses that collapsed and died spontaneously. And I don't have information yet on either of those. You know, we really can't do the review on those until we get the necropsy report, till we find out if there is a determinable cause for the horse's death or not. So that those two are very different than musculoskeletal injuries where you can look at high-speed exercise history and training patterns, and you know there is a history there that can help you ask and answer good questions, whereas with this we really need to wait for the necropsy report to direct how we proceed in getting more information about these horses.